Good evening. Wow. My name, I don't know. I'd like to say I would recognize if there were new faces or not new faces, and some I do and some I don't. So, who is here possibly for the first time? Okay. My name is Kondo. And your name is? Kevin?
Elliot.
Oh, what a great name. Mm. And?
David.
And you told me your name, and I've already forgotten it. So?
Becky.
Beatrice? Ooh, wow. That's pretty cool. I mean, Dante's Inferno being one of the great spiritual writings of Western culture, so let's see. Okay, so a little bit of housekeeping and a little bit of information. And number one, if you thought I wiggled last week, watch me wiggle this week. I may even end up in a chair. I did not do that because I moved this weekend. And my joints are not happy. Or I might even just stand up for a minute, but just so, I hope I don't distract anybody with that, but just letting you know, parts of my body are protesting. Cell phones off. For the new people, if you need to take a break, please feel free to do so. And if you need the restrooms, bathrooms, whatever, the happy rooms, you go out the door to the left, and they will be immediately to your left. So don't be shy about getting up and taking care of yourself at any time in here. If you need something to drink, if you take a left and go straight to the next doorway, on the right you'll see a sink, and above the sink there's shelves, and there's glasses there. You can get some water for yourself. Okay, so let's see. We're going to be doing some repeating, and I was told about teaching this class is that people drop in and out, so we'll always be kind of. I guess I hope it's beneficial to people that are here all the way through. I'll be going over a little bit stuff each week, and then moving into new stuff. So let us, I'm just amazed anybody's back. This is fabulous. Wow. You know, one of my, great things. Oh, I'm going to walk in on next Tuesday night, and maybe there'll be some people that hadn't been there before, but the rest of it, no one will say, I'm not going back there. So thank you for proving one of my stories that I wrote in my head wrong. We talked about a sitting posture last week. For people who are new here, do whatever is comfortable, that at this time of day, if you finished work, you can stay somewhat alert and not go to sleep. But the full sitting posture has 7 points to it. The first thing you do is anybody, okay, I'm going to point. What do you do with the lower part of your body, Cody? You sit, right? Legs crossed. Okay, and for those people that have practiced yoga since they were 2, some people can do the full Vajra position, like this. Any form of crossed leg just gives you some stability is fine. Your hands are here, a little bit away from your body, not uncomfortably so, but just a little bit away from your body. A little bit of circulation kind of helps the energy flow a little bit. Right hand over left. Thumb tips crossing. Some people have been taught to meditate with their hands open on their thighs like this. which is not an uncommon way to do it. Kind of, it's an, and people say to me it's an opening to the universe and being opening to what might be coming to them. In this tradition, this is a way of kind of keeping the, it keeps the energy channels kind of all in a circle, because everything is connected. Then, you know, back straight, you know, stack, but not stiff. You know, if you can drop the shoulder, you know. Then your head kind of a little bit tilted forward. So you can look down the ski slope of your nose. Eyes slightly closed. My eyes are slightly crossed. Your eyes should be slightly closed. Thank you. Lightly closed. But a lot of people at first, that's not comfortable, and they either need to close their eyes completely or keep their eyes open. You do what works for you. In fact, I was just reading something today that learning to meditate is not about finding a straitjacket for your mind. It's about finding means of becoming, of your mind being, of becoming friendly with your mind and comfortable so that you control your mind and your mind is not always running your life. So, and if you start to drift, don't worry about it. Just notice that you're drifting. Come on back. I would like to, we're going to start by counting our breath. For the people that are brand new, I'll walk us through. What we're going to do is we're going to count 7 breaths. And I will, and you count on, usually what you do is you exhale and then count 1 on the inhale. And then breathe naturally. You're breathing through your nose, unless you have a cold or something, you have to breathe through your mouth. And that's usually a way it helps you kind of come into the room, come into your body, be present. So we're going to do that for 7 breaths. And I'll just count the first 3 and allow you to finish to 7. And then everyone, some of the people here were bare attention. One of the things we practiced last week was bare attention. Is once you've counted the breaths, you can to 7, stop counting and just pay attention to your inhale and exhale. Every little item of it, you know, that you can notice, that the cooler air coming in, the warmer air going out, and thoughts will intrude as that happens. And just notice them, let them go. Notice them, you let them go. And we're just going to do that for a few minutes. So, one, two, three, housekeeping I forgot. We are attempting to record this, unfortunately. So if you ask a question, Chris, you want people to use the mic? Okay. And the mistake I always make with these handheld mics is I always have them too far away. It's kind of like you're almost ready to eat your ice cream cone, and that seems to be the way it works best. And I will also try to repeat the question, partly to make sure I'm clear on what it is. So thank you. Please feel free to correct me if I didn't hear it correctly. So this is a check-in for the people that were here last week. I'm really sorry that the person that was here that was going to give us a report on whether or not it was better for her to meditate before she exercised and went to the gym in the morning or when she got home and showered. So, well, maybe she'll come back and we'll find out. But, so is anybody, can anybody share a little bit? Were they even able to do any of it? Did they even think about doing it? I rejoice if you even thought about doing it but didn't do it. That's great. In terms of what we did last week. Or any questions?
Hold it down.
Hello?
Yeah, I think you were.
Yeah, I did it every night.
Wow. Well, you, I can see the aura.
That's all we
get. You're shinier. Was it beneficial? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I apologize if I did.
I couldn't really tell a difference. Huh?
What?
I couldn't tell a difference.
Couldn't tell a difference. Well, you might have already been enlightened. What can you say, you know?
I've been doing it anyway.
Yeah, so, okay. Well, I'm glad. Wow. Yippee. Thanks. Rose, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. I didn't do it every day, but I did it probably half the time.
Wow.
And, you know, a huge amount of it for me is habit. I have to get up early enough in the morning instead of jumping out of bed. But I know, you know, I do feel better. My day is much better.
Is it?
When I started, it seems like it, yeah. You'd think I could build that habit more effectively, but...
Isn't that interesting that when we know what works and we're still, I mean, and I don't mean you, I mean human beings. We know what, we kind of know what works, and it's... The 10 minutes or the 15 minutes on, with your head protecting your pillow seems more important at the moment. Any questions? Okay, so, well, I must acknowledge that for whatever reason, and you'd think I would, last week I would have been more nervous and this week I would be less nervous, but it seems to be going the other way. Go figure. So what is the mind? Oh, go ahead, please. Oh, please.
So I'm going through a positive.
Oh, good job.
Positive transition in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'm heady.
Mm.
And if I want to not grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be grounded, and I'm wondering if meditation is your experience, whether you're nervous or heady or fearful, whatever it is, taking that into the meditation. I tried that. I found it difficult to do. I ended up doing some yogic breathing, which was helpful. But just wondering if you have anything to say about going into meditation when a lot going on emotionally.
So what she's asking is when either your mom, let's see, she used the word heady in terms of a very positive experience or nervous, possibly, but your mind isn't even.
Right.
You know, there isn't a lack of evenness. I heard kind of two questions. One, how do you go into the meditation if you are in that state? And two, if you are able to settle into the meditation, can it benefit you?
Well, I'm sure the answer to the second question is yes.
Okay.
It's about getting settled.
Well, guess what? She's a plant. One of the things we're going to talk about tonight is when your mind is extremely unsettled, a method called 9-round breathing to kind of clear the channels and bring your body and into kind of more of your mind, your, you know, physical being. Because when you're heady, there's a little more adrenaline going on. You know, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's not just your head happening, and kind of clears the energy channels and kind of brings you more into center. So thank you for being my plant tonight. I really am grateful, and we'll be getting to that. Okay? Great. So what is the mind? This is one of the things I'd like to say about anything I am saying here is it is meditation 101, and it is happening at a Buddhist center. So please, everything I'm going to say about meditation, I'm really presenting as a hypothesis for you to try on and see if it works for you. And some of the things I'm going to present in terms of definitions are from the Buddhist perspective in terms of what, you know, if you asked a neuroscientist what the mind is and you asked a Buddhist what the mind is, there would be some points of agreement, but there would certainly be some divergent points. I'm going to be talking about the mind from the Buddhist perspective, not from the Tibetan Buddhist perspective. You could go to any Buddhist tradition, and this is what you would hear about the mind. So it dawned on me that I should clarify that. Okay. So in Buddhism, what is the mind? First of all, in Buddhism, the mind is totally non-material. That's a hard one. Not sure I get it yet. No, totally non-material. But the thing, in terms of day-to-day life, what really kind of matters is that its actual nature is clarity. It isn't all the clutter of the thoughts that we have. It's very spacious, it's very open, it's clear. And its function is to know. And that's why last week when I said, if you think meditation is making your mind a blank, well, sorry, ain't going to happen, because if the function of the mind is to think, to know, well, it's just not going to stop doing it. No, it'd be like telling your lungs, you know, please stop. I don't like your function. I don't want you to breathe anymore. The body wouldn't be happy very long. So, it's clear and it's awareness. So how are the mind and the body, connected? Well, if the mind is non-material from this perspective, I just got lost. Okay. For it to function, there is an interdependence with the body. I mean, the mind would exist if there was no brain. But to function in this realm, in this world, with these bodies, It needs a brain to manifest. The reason I'm making this point is that there's a lot of, I mean, and I'm not questioning neuroscience. I was a clinical social worker for 30 years, so I mean, bless science for some of the medications that have benefited people, so that they're not suffering quite as much as they were. So I'm not, but. But if all we are is biology, if the only thing our mind is biology, then it's really hard to think about how do we have any control over being happy and ending our suffering. Does that make kind of sense to anybody? Am I? So, yeah, we need the brain, you know, for it to function, but finally, the mind is bigger, is more than and different than the brain, and it's that ability to think that enables us to say, to choose happiness, to choosing to be quiet. Okay, so how is it possible to calm? You know, one teacher of ours, there are other people in the room we refer to, you know, how do you make friends with the roommates that live in our mind and are probably late on the rent, or the committee, or whatever. How do we, you know, some of us come to meditation saying, you know, I just want them to shut up. And it would really be better if they moved out. 65 years later, none of them have moved out, but we get along a lot better. And so, again, I come back to meditation in terms of meditation is an opportunity to look within, become familiar. And I think the thing that the part about meditation that I'll talk more about here is that there's a huge difference between discrimination and judgment. Judgment, and I mean, one could use them synonymously, but in this culture, when one, if one isn't talking, discrimination is, that's dark red, that's blue. You're discriminating colors. You're not judging whether red is good and blue is bad. And so the reason I try to stay away from the word judging is that an awful lot of our internal dialogue is not looking at the difference between the thoughts. Is this thought useful? Is this thought not useful? It's like, that's bad, that's good. I've got to get rid of that. Okay, so one of the ways that we, one of the techniques in this, in Buddhism in terms of meditation for lightening up the dialogue is the fact that our mind, how do I say this? Our mind is like the sky, and the thoughts that come through it are the clouds. And the clouds are always changing, and they're always moving. And if you kind of sit there, you know, if you're the sky, you know, if you think about watching the thoughts, it's like, well, I don't need to get too wrapped up in that thought because it's going to be gone in a little while. They're going to move. They were sure moving tonight. So So that's a way. And so there's this particular meditation that once you've, you know, kind of done some breathing and calmed yourself, that says, you know, think about your mind as the sky, that it's open and it's clear. And as thoughts come up, they're just clouds that are moving along. And you can observe them. You can notice them. You can even say, yeah, that's a gray one, maybe rain. I hope, you know, that one's going to pass by. Ooh, I like that one. That's pretty. It looks like an elephant. No, but you're not, you're just kind of watching them. Not kind of, you are watching them. And how does that help? Well, what it helps is if we can, you know, when a thought wants to take hold, I'll use an example. The thought that wants to take hold is, since I have moved, my Verizon reception is not as good. And I called the Verizon people, and they, of course, gave me the perfect solution that hasn't worked. Well, I haven't had time to call Verizon back, right? So what I've been doing during the day when I pick up the phone and I lose a call in my apartment, I go, I don't have time to call Verizon now. This is fine. I'm not going to get it, you know, I'm just going to, it will have its place. Now, I know that sounds very silly and minor to people, but I could give myself, you know, 5 minutes of being annoyed at the Verizon people and already arguing with the person that's going to answer the phone and trying to help me. And I'm saying this because I've done it, and I don't know if anybody else in this room has done that, okay? And if you haven't, well, I guess I'd be, no, never mind. So if I can see my annoyance with the Verizon, you know, my difficulty with the Verizon people is one of those rain clouds that's just going to move on out, and that there is a solution that's going to be a pretty cloud that I'm going to like that's going to come on by, or maybe it's going to be another rain cloud, and it'll be, I don't waste as much energy. I'm not as tired. And as I said, I do not know if that's true for any. So believe it or not, the habit of thinking about your thoughts and practicing that, what I have heard people say and what's happened for me is during the day when I want to get engaged with something that's not going to be beneficial, or might be, it's like, there's a phrase in another spiritual program that is, this too shall pass. So we're going to try, we get to vote. We can do mind like the sky or mind like the ocean, because the ocean has waves, which are the same kind of thing. The waves come and they go, and there's the tide. So which one do you want to do? Want to do mind like the sky or mind like the ocean? Mind like the sky, good, okay. Those that speak up first get it. Okay. Something I forgot to do at the beginning of the class is one of the things we talked about before last week is that it's really nice to, before you begin doing any activity, to set a motivation, a positive motivation. It's kind of like the athletes do, you know. They set a positive motivation in terms of, you know, how's it going to go? And so set up, and we can do it for each meditation, but what I'd like to do is just set it for the entire evening. Everyone here took time out of, chose to use their time to come here tonight to hopefully get some positive benefit for their mind. That was a kind intention to yourself to take good care of yourself. And by taking good care of yourself, probably, my experience is you take good care of yourself and the people around you benefit. You know? So that by taking good care of ourselves, May the result of that is that we benefit those, all the beings we come in contact with. And all the time we spend here tonight, now that we, as we do this meditation, is that, that's our motivation for being here, you know? And if you have another motivation that works better for you, that's positive, you know, except for shoot Bill, you know, fine. I prefer you didn't, you know, set the motivation to shoot Bill tonight. But if you need to. So for the people that are new, was it clear in terms of just, you know, beginning? Any free meditation we do, we will begin with taking just a few breaths to watch our inhale and exhale, probably for about 30 seconds. And then I will start talking about the visualization in terms of the mind like the sky. From my perspective, this meditation is extremely wordy because I've heard from people saying, oh, people want me to watch my mind. I wish they'd stop talking. Okay? I'm pretty much going to do this meditation as it was presented, which may seem kind of wordy, but I'm going to be looking for feedback from people because as we do other meditations, we can adjust it and I can use fewer words. You know, so I'd really like information from what works for people in the room. Okay? So, settle yourself in a comfortable position that works for you. As you start to watch your breath, it is good to start with an exhale and then begin watching on that first inhale. And we're going to do that for about 30 seconds. Doing the bare attention of just continuing to watch your breath as the anchor, and as thoughts arise, just letting them arise, not engaging with them, letting them pass. Some may be positive. Some neutral. Some not so pleasant. To give you an idea how many thoughts we have, there's one text that says, that in the snap of a fingers, there are 51 mental moments. Now, allow your attention to expand. Encompass your entire sphere of experience. See if you can forget that there is an observer and something being observed. Your mind, your consciousness is like the sky. Clear, it's spacious. Take a few breaths here. Our minds are completely clear, just as the sky is completely clear. The light of the sun shines down on us through the clear sky. Our awareness and wisdom shines through the clarity of our minds, showing us the clarity of our minds. You know, sometimes when it's a really cloudy day, we'll say the sky is gray. But the sky hasn't changed colors. It isn't the clouds. It isn't the rain. It isn't the wind. Our mind is not our thoughts. They come and they go. Can you watch the thoughts and emotions that arise in your mind? Like you watch the clouds. Sometimes moving fast, sometimes moving slow. Sometimes just seeming to dissolve. Rather than like clouds, sometimes our thoughts are like racing trains, noisily running through our mind. But even those pass. Whenever we identify with and get carried away by the wind and the clouds, we lose that sense of spaciousness and clarity. We lose the capacity to be aware of the other thoughts and feelings. When we hold on too tightly to a thought, we get stuck. So, allow the wind to move the clouds. Through the clarity and spaciousness of your mind. you're getting too distracted and it seems overwhelming, just come back to the breath. Hello. comments?
So, I noticed that at some point there were no thoughts going by, but there were sensations in my body that were calling my attention. Like, I had a muscle here that was felt sore, and then my attention went there, and then suddenly I started getting a lot of thoughts about what's going on. Why do I have this? What did I do to position it again? And I was thinking, are those sensations, those physical sensations, thoughts? That thoughts of the body saying, hey, this doesn't feel good, or...
Yeah, good question. Interesting. Let's see if I can... In Buddhist terms, it would be the physical sensation, okay? And then there would be... it would arise as this pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Okay? Okay? And then, unpleasant, you know, tight, sore, you know, pain. And then from there, we would, how do I say this? Then that's where the story starts. That's where the story starts. I mean, so it's the fact that the body has a feeling, you know, something happened to nerves or muscles. They went like this. You noticed it. It said, no, I would like less of this, not more of this. You know, that's the definition of pleasant, unpleasant. Pleasant being, yes, it can continue. Unpleasant, I would like it to stop immediately. Thank you very much. Neutral, like, but then the story, as you said, is where's it coming from? What's causing it? Should I do something about it? In other words, the feeling that, you know, the sensation becomes the support or the trigger for all the thoughts. The feeling is not, you know, the physical act of a nerve firing is not a thought.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we start to discriminate, is it pleasant, unpleasant? And that's what I was, thank you for the question, because I think you've illustrated wonderfully, and hopefully my explanation is illustrated somewhat, the interdependence of what's the point of having a mind if there's not anything to cognize? So, does that answer your question a little bit?
Yes, and it brings another question, which is, the like-dislike, is that an emotion?
What?
The like-dislike. I don't like that my
back is too sore. That's not an emotion. That's a thought. Neutral, it's funny, positive, and I guess that's right, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, that is a... if it's happening in your shoulder, that is, there are, oh gosh, should I go into that? Probably not. In Buddhism, okay, in this tradition, and I won't spend a whole bunch of time here, okay? There are six primary consciousness. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, no consciousness, you know. This would be like, you know, body, you know, touch, whatever. So yeah, there was a body consciousness that was a pain. But then the mental consciousness, which is the sixth one, is the one that began labeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And they work together. It's very hard to disaggregate them. But the point of disaggregating it like that is to say, okay, something is firing. My mind is telling me it doesn't feel good. You know, I don't like, it hurts. You know, can I breathe into it? This will pass. This is a mental moment. It's not, I am not the pain. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're in excruciating pain, it's really, really hard to think that you're not the pain. I mean, will this ever end? Mm-hmm. It's permanent. It's not going to stop and stuff. So, and I apologize. That's not a very good explanation because it doesn't really kind of fit where we're at. But as soon as there is a sensation and as soon as we begin labeling it, it has moved from sensation or a bodily function to thought.
Thank you.
Is that?
Yes, perfect. Thank
okay.
you very much.
Thank you. And if you would like to add anything, Miss Jill, my coach. Okay. Any other questions, comments? Wordy, not wordy enough, too wordy. I mean, it would be different for different people, but somebody has to have an opinion, but you can keep it. What?
I thought the train was helpful.
You use the train well.
Oh. It's a plan. Amtrak will be calling for my fee. Okay. So we can do mind like an ocean or, yes, okay. We're not going to do that for quite as long because I want to make sure we get to the 9-round breathing and have plenty of time to practice that and feel comfortable with it. It's not particularly complicated, but it confused going like this and this. It confused me, so we'll get there. So, anybody need to wiggle, squiggle? I'm going to change position. Please wiggle and squiggle as you need. Okay. Well, again, as we settle, please, please, you know, give your mind a wonderful pat on the head for the fact that you've taken the time to give your mind some space and, you know, take care of yourself. I just think it's wonderful. So let's, for 30 seconds, then just go back to watching our breath. Take a deep exhale before you start. And if you're comfortable with watching your breath, start to let go, if you can, of the observer and the observed. Your mind. the ocean. So vast, spacious. No end on the horizon. Take a few breaths here. The ways of thinking about your mind as the ocean. The ocean is just filled with fish. Some big, some little. And not just fish. There's clams and oysters and shrimp and all sorts of stuff, beings. And sometimes it's hard to even realize there's water because you're so busy watching the fish. The fish are like your thoughts. Sometimes there's a big school of them. Sometimes there's a big school of them running away from a big shark. Ocean just lets it all be. Yet without the ocean, there wouldn't be any fish. Wonderful, spacious place. It allows our thoughts to rise and pass. And of course, that's only if we're underneath the ocean. Well, but if you're closer to the surface, there are the waves. Sometimes they're gentle rolling waves. Sometimes pounding, huge, scary waves. And they pass. And even the same huge wave that if you're 20 feet from shore would knock you down. Further in, they would only tickle your toes. So think, here's the ocean, here are my thoughts. They rise, they can seem so powerful. hold on and drop away. So, you can think about the fish for a few minutes and watching them go and letting them go, kind of noting their colors or their size or their speed. You can think of the waves. You can think of dolphins frolicking in the waves. We'll stay with this for a couple of minutes and enjoy the space of the ocean, the support it gives. Okay, well, I haven't been very timely. It's about 8 minutes after eight. One will try and end on time. So, I guess I'm going to ask a couple of questions just for reflection, and then we'll have more time, but I really want to get into the nine-round breathing. From the little bit we've done tonight, does it make sense to anyone here that watching your thoughts rise and go and giving them permission to go by and not engaging in the story, could add some kind of comfort, some ease, or maybe evenness to your life? Does that, you know, I'm seeing a couple of heads nodding. People don't have to comment. I'm just curious. What I'm supposed to do next is a long 10-minute lecture on how meditating allows you to make choices and and detach from negative thoughts. And but that's what we've been practicing all night. Does it make sense that that might work?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I mean, not that we can't talk about it, but it's like, you know, if it's already making sense to you, it seems like I'm, you know, why, you know, why restate the obvious? one of there's one is a lot of the stories we tell about what things are is it's a lie. That's one teacher says. And there's a teacher named Pema Chodron that says that when we grab thoughts and hang on to them and cause ourselves misery, it's, and she says, don't bite the hook. Yeah. So the thing about the breath is, I'm gonna say that people begin to notice, and maybe you have already noticed, is that when you inhale and before you exhale, there's just kind of like this tiny window of space. Sometimes, I mean, you don't, you know, there's a window there, and if you haven't noticed it, maybe start paying a little bit of attention to that. Is your back hurting again, Rose?
Not too bad.
Not too bad. Yeah. Feel free to, standing up or walking around would help. Please take care of yourself. That space. If you continue kind of just even watching your breath, you will begin to notice that little space. And the reason that little space is important is that that's the space where you get to make the choice about whether I'm going to take a deep breath and not go for the jugular, or when you don't pay any attention, if you're anything like me, the mouth is open, the words are coming out, and then I have to go make an amends. So it's the whole, just watching your breath, you know, kind of, when you become aware of that space, it really can transfer to be to that little window in your life where you can start, instead of just reacting, choosing. I just, and people may have already begun to notice that little bit of space or not, but I invite you to kind of say, oh yeah, I don't automatically, you know, there's a gap there. Well, that gap is there in everything. It's between, is always there between the trigger and what we do with it. And that's what meditation can kind of help you begin to latch on to, is not the reaction, but the space. Okay. So, we're going to do 9-round breathing. And the reason, let me introduce this a little bit. This is a very, very old technique. One of the resident teachers here says that it well predates Buddhism. The Vedic practitioners, Hindu practitioners were doing it. It probably predates Buddhism by a couple of thousand years. And I don't even know how much it may predate, you know, prior to that. Okay. The other, what it is supposed to do, the whole goal of it is, it's a very good thing. Some people do it before they even start counting their breaths. It's how they'll anchor themselves. What's nice about it is, you can do one set of 9-round breathing in about, you know, 30 or 40 seconds. And if you're really needing to calm yourself, it's one of those things you can do at stoplights, you can do stuck in traffic, you can do, probably couldn't do at a committee meeting very discreetly, but you could leave the room for a minute. I think I'm not sure, Jill. No, I guess it will. Okay, so some people say use this finger, but you know it's kind of rude to use this finger, you know, in this culture. And some people, you know, this finger, you know, there's actually a couple of hand gestures in Tibetan ritual, and one of my teachers said, no, go like this now. Don't go like this. They get very upset in America. So the Buddha was always for making people feel comfortable in their skins, and it was okay to change fingers if you were going to insult half the audience with that hand gesture. So take your left hand and close your left nostril, and I'm not good at reversing it, people. So I know yoga teachers are really good at that, but take your left hand. And what we're going to do for three counts is we're going to breathe in through our right, then move our finger and close our right nostril, and breathe out through our left. And we're going to do that for three breaths. Okay, so now, take your right hand and close your right nostril and do three more breaths. In through your left and out through your right for three breaths. Now take three normal breaths through both nostrils. We'll just go all the way through it this time. So, starting with your left hand, close your left nostril. Three breaths, both nostrils. Are people comfortable just doing that on their own? Do you need me to lead you through it one more time? Sure.
What is the position of the hands? Should it be this or this? When you're...
Oh. What?
I mean, I always learned it like this.
Okay. From Geshe-la, right?
You doing it like this.
Yeah.
No, I learned this from my grandfather.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. Okay.
But I noticed you're doing it like this.
Yeah, that's good. Actually, I'm trying to think when I see Geshe-la and he'll go like that. Yeah, ring finger or the index finger. Yeah. I don't think there's a right or wrong. It's more coming back and forth, not and stuff. So, but that's a good question. I think there may be a, because it is all about the energy channels. So it may, yeah. So thank you for that, and I'll check it out.
Is it the purpose of that exercise for you to see that window more clearly? The window between, when you take the bread in and out, or not necessarily?
I've not heard of it. I mean, I can see how it could help you see the window more clearly, but that's not the since 5,000 years ago, I don't think we have much written about it. I'll reserve my answer. So are people comfortable going through that on their own? Okay, you're so much better than I was. I was so confused. And right and left is just not a happy place for me. So what I would like you to do is do four rounds on your own. Probably take about 2 minutes. Do four rounds on your own, and then I'll talk a little bit about how it is, how it works with the energy channels. Okay? So, yes.
Four rounds, you mean?
Yeah, 36 breaths. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. Yes. Sorry, he's coming with one immediately. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Does it matter if you're left-handed or right-handed?
No, you still...
Still do it, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't switch over or anything.
No.
Okay.
No. He said doesn't matter if you're right or left-handed. Right, but you still start with your left hand. You don't use, because if you're left-handed, you don't start with your right. Oh, please, don't completely confuse me. But yes, it's a good question, but no.
I have a question. When I switch sides, do I switch hands, or do I just use the same...
No, you switch hands. Yeah, you use right hand, left hand, left nostril, right hand, right nostril. And again, her question about, do you do this, because it is about energy channels. And so you're, she said to me, I did this, as opposed to her grandfather taught her to do this. And I told her I would find out from my teachers if I'm teaching you incorrectly, and there's a better way to do it. And so, yes, 34 rounds, 9 breaths each round. Okay? Okay. So, all we did this week was actually, I didn't give you guys any time to talk to each other. I'm sorry. Next week we'll start with everybody getting to talk to each other. It's part of my job. But what I... What I'd like to... How I'd like to finish class is... first of all, I'm going to start with your homework. Continue to practice the bare attention. Oh, for the new people, and I'm sorry. For the new people, if you go to the website, Kadampa Center, and you look under spiritual program, you will see Meditation 101. And if you click on that, all the handouts are there in terms of the meditation exercises and all the directions. So I will... Okay. So practice this week with the bare attention, practice with the 9-round breathing, and it's just 8:30. If people have about 4 more minutes, what I would like to do is all we did at this point was practice the physical part of the 9-round breathing. But there's a visualization that goes with it in terms of the energy channels. And so I'd like to just kind of very slowly and quietly read that while you're doing go through the 9-round breathing, and we will again do this next week. I think it's one of the most, if you take anything away from this class, I think the 9-round breathing is one of the most skillful techniques for just kind of bringing yourself back to center, regardless of what your spiritual or philosophical orientation may be. It's just got good biology behind it. Okay. So are people comfortable with like 4 more minutes? If anybody needs to leave, please feel free to. Okay. And before we start, I want to dedicate all the merit of all the positive energy that people have generated by being here, taking good care of themselves, listening, thinking, practicing for their benefit. May they and all beings be safe, be healthy, be happy. Okay, so begin by visualizing 3 psychic channels or tubes within your body that energy moves on. The channels are round and hollow, the size of a straw, and very fine, smooth, flexible, and luminous. The central channel is blue. It starts at a point midway between the eyebrows, curves up and back along the inside of the skull like the handle of an umbrella, and then down along the inside of the spine to a point 4 finger widths below the navel. The right channel is red and runs from the right nostril back and then downward along the right side of the central channel to an end at the point 4 finger widths below the navel. The left channel is white and also runs from behind the left nostril down along the left side of the spine to an end, 4 fingers below the navel. For this meditation, imagine that the ends of the 3 channels join together at this point, 4 fingers below the navel. Just take a minute and see if you can get this visualization of the central blue, right red, left white, joining four fingers below the navel. Now holding the left nostril closed with an index finger, inhale slowly and fully through the right nostril. Imagine that you are sending the breath all the way down to the end of your right channel. Imagine that the breath flows from the right into the left channel as you move your index finger to hold the right nostril closed. Now exhale slowly and fully through the left nostril. As the breath leaves the left nostril, imagine that all the distractions, mental dullness, and negativities are expelled with the breath. Repeat two more times, inhaling through the right nostril and exhaling through the left. And again, imagining that all of the distractions, mental dullness, and negativities are expelled with each out-breath. Now, reverse the process, holding the right nostril closed with your index finger. Breathe in deeply through the left nostril, sending the breath all the way down to the end of the left channel. As the breath moves into the right channel, move your index finger to hold the left nostril closed. Exhale slowly and fully through the right nostril. As the breath leaves the right nostril, imagine that all the impurities are expelled with the breath. Repeat two more times, inhaling through the left nostril and exhaling through the right. Slowly and deeply through both nostrils, sending the air down to the right and left channels. As you exhale, imagine that the breath is expelled up and out through the central channel. As you breathe out, imagine that you're expelling all distractions, negativities out to a point between the two brows. Repeat two more times. Now imagine that the three channels are completely clean and luminous. You can repeat this as many times as you need, and if after two or three rounds your mind feels settled, to spend a few minutes quietly watching your breath, and then if you're moving to, let's say, an analytic meditation, which we'll learn later. Thank you. Yeah, I'll be here for a few minutes afterwards. And We will start next week to see if there's any questions, and I'll talk more about the 9-round breathing. Okay? Thank you, everyone, for being here. Wow. I hope everyone has a wonderful night's sleep and a good rest of the week.